Podtacular Episode 11, October 2nd, 2005. Hey guys, welcome back.
Welcome
to Podtacular, unofficial Halo 2
welcome
podcast.
Back.
I'm excited here.
Yes! Looking forward to Podtacular 11 here. As usual, this is your host, Fumo Jive.
And I'm Spellcheck.
And we're here to bring you the usual tips, tricks, strategies, and custom games, all kinds of great stuff to help you level up in Halo 2 and stay there.
Yeah, it's all rolled into one, like one big giant thing you'd roll up.
Well, let's get started here. Looks like we've got some news and announcements.
News and announcements. Amazing.
What do we got first?
The 2 cheat is starting Tricktacular, a tricking group that tries out tricks and makes videos and such. He's trying to get a trick get-together. To sign up, they need to send him a friend request. That's the 2 cheat. The 2 is the number 2. With a friend, when that message is telling they want to be part of Tricktacular. So, yeah.
It's kind of a tricking group for people that are into that kind of stuff. And he doesn't cheat, even though his name is the 2 cheat.
Sounds kind of like the cheat from Homestar, the cheat.
Yeah, dude, someone noticed that you're doing some Homestar quotes in this last one, huh?
Oh, you know it. I'm like Homestar all the time.
Shut up, Homestar. No one likes you anyways.
Hey, strong man. Listen to my favorite podcast.
Podcast? What on earth is that?
It's cool. Back to you, Fubo Jive.
Nice. Special guest from Homestar Runner, guys.
That was awfully nice of them to drop by.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Strongbad. Thanks, Homestar.
No, thank you, Spellcheck. And leave me the crap alone.
Awesome, guys. We'll see you next week for sure. So, let's see, what else we got here? We want to give an extra special thanks to the guys at HaloPlanet.com.
Amazing.
For making us a long-term feature on their site. If you go to Halo Planet on the right side, they have a feature for podcasts, and, well, we're the ones on there. Like
made
feature
made
podcasts.
Me all giddy.
Sweet. So thanks, guys, for doing that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's so cool. Too cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Too cool.
Anyways, so Alexander Cruz is starting a hog racing tourney. You can check out the link in the show notes for details on how to get involved with hog racing.
Daytona 500 for warthogs. Or something like that. And let's see. Also in announcements for the Podtacular clans, Phil the Thunder is now the overlord of the brand spanking new Podtacular 05.
05 now, Podtacular. Not 5. Podtacular 5 is taken by some crazy people.
Yeah, some of you might be wondering why we didn't just call it Podtacular 5. Well, the reason is because some knuckleheads decided that they would just make a clan called Podtacular 5, you know, knowing that we number our clans, and then try to say, hey, I started Podtacular 5, can I be the overlord? And of course,
that's not too cool. You can't.
Yeah, you can't just be the overlord just because you started the clan name. So it takes a little more than that. So that's why we had to do that.
Nope. And lastly, Scandal! Ooh! If you were involved with Podtacular 2, you might realize you're probably not in there anymore. And that's because I had made some bad judgments as far as staff members. I'm not going to mention any names. But somehow, a staff member booted every single member. And I am very sorry. Don't take it personal. It happened to everyone. So if you need an invite back in, you can contact me via my Xbox Live account, SPELCHEK, spell check. You can email us through our Podtacular Clan email, which you can see on the site, or just leave a comment on the ever-growing post about it, and we will get you back into Podtacular 2. Sorry.
That's okay, guys. We'll get you right back in. It'll be back to usual and be even better.
Yeah,
so
we're really sorry about that, guys. It wasn't anything we ever plan on happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We expect it's taken care of for the future. So.
Yeah.
Also, we have the Podtacular web team is making a few changes here. Captain Crunk is now heading up the web team for the next version of Podtacular.com. So thanks to him, Paradox, and Liquid Enforcer for being a part of that. What they're doing is they're working on the next release of Podtacular.com. I have been trying to do some things on that, but I've been so behind with all the stuff with trying to keep up with the show and some other things that I just couldn't be a part of the web team anymore. So I kind of handed it over to Captain Crunk. He's going to be heading it up, and look forward to some exciting stuff on that soon. They've really got some good things planned, so it's going to be neat.
Sweet.
Also, a couple more things. Wrapping up the news here is episode 12 will be accompanied by Podtacular TV, which will be the video companion to the podcast, headed up by Decidus. And that's going to have stuff like, like video stuff about showing the tips and tricks that we do and things like that. It's going to be very cool. So stay tuned for that after as an accompaniment to episode 12. It's going to come out about the same time as the show notes. So check that out.
Oh, and I got an email. I got to say, I got to mention this.
Go for it.
This is my new pal, Olive Skate. Yeah, I was playing with him all weekend long. Cool kitty cat. If you would like to play with him, then you know what? His gamer tag is Olive SK8. Cool kid. I was playing with him. He's a good pal of mine. Thought to give him a shout out. And I also want to give a shout out to Comet Coot. He's a British listener. He gave £50 to the Katrina relief. That's about $100. So
awesome.
That's really nice. And he hates people who are racist. Me too. So thanks, Comet Coot. Send him a clan invite, guys. I don't have time to do this hardly anymore. Send him some.
For real.
Send him some. Send him some. What? Word.
That's pretty good, man. Should rap. No, you shouldn't. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Please don't rap. So we also have the next Podtacular tournament is coming up on the 29th of October. This was just cleared up.
Sneaking
so up check the forum for details on that, guys. If you want to check out our forums, it's on podtacular.com. There's a link on the right side that says Podtacular Bungie Group with forums. So click that and check it out. It's going to be headed up by Scotty Sewell again.
Check it.
What we're going to do on this one is we're putting together a, instead of just one team for each clan, we're putting together what we're calling platoons, which is teams of four within the clan. And so just, find a team of four, and as long as it's in the same clan, and get ready to get going on a Royal Rumble, man.
Is the one going to be on a Saturday? Because last time it was on like a Friday night. I can't do Friday nights, man. I can't do them.
Yeah. Yeah, this one will be on a Saturday. I don't... The time's going to be posted in the forums. I'm not sure what time it is yet, but
Platoon Spellcheck going to rock it up. I think I'm going to be with Staminator and stuff.
Nice. So.
I don't know.
Along with some web resources here.
Web resource. Is.
Thank you for enunciating that.
It'll be replaced with a promo later. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. So what's first here?
I'll see, we got one here from our good old pals, Jet Pilot. He says, a good Halo 2 set that shouldn't be overlooked is HyperHalo.com. It's good for discussing the 360, which is coming out November 22nd, by the way.
Yeah.
And you
I'm
know
still,
what?
I
went to go buy a new headset the other day because I didn't have one. And they said, hey, want to reserve a 360? And I'm like, okay, is it $5? And they're like, no, it's $50 to reserve one. I'm like, dang, I don't got $50. What do you think I am? Crazy? And apparently, like, everywhere where I live, and I live in, like, middle of Oklahoma, it's sold out for the first shipment, so if you have not reserved your 360, you probably need to soon.
Dude, that sucks.
Because he said that the second shipment, they weren't going to get those till after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not thought to reserve your 360, and you don't think anyone else has, they probably have. So you might go reserve yours. You can do it online, probably, or just check out your local EB Games if you have one of those, or Game Crazy, or Game Rush. Or or the other ones, you know, Babbage's, all the good ones, Software, etc., GameStop. Check all those out. Look into reserving one because, you know, I'd be waiting until February to even get mine. So.
Yeah. Well, according to Frankie at Bungie.net, Halo 2 will work on the Xbox 360. So it's not going to add any new functionality to it, guys, but you'll be able to play on live on Halo 2. So
I wonder if it's going to have, like, backwards online. Like, you can play with the guy playing on the Xbox with, like, a 360 guy playing on the Xbox, guys. I bet it will.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's just like...
Oh, well.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, also, Rizzo41999 says, check out my blog, halo2mania.blogspot.com. They've been doing a lot of work on that, and, yeah, go check it out and see if you can find something useful.
What's it all about? That's Beastie Boys, guys.
Turn this party out.
Beastie Boys. Gunner5890 says, find and post some custom games over at http://www.custom-halo.blogspot.com. Guys.
http://, don't forget that part.
Yeah, that's even more important than the .com. And also, I just got to make a quick thing. Sean Anderson of Bad Key Studios mentioned him a while back. I said badkeystudios.com. It's badkeystudios.net. .net.
Ugh.
And
dude.
So if you tried to go to their site, then you probably wouldn't have got there because it's badkittystudios.net. Sorry, man.
I was wondering what the deal was.
That was about like 3 shows back, and he's been emailing me. I forgot to mention it, man. I'm absolutely sorry about that.
Well, there's no excuses, man. Just get it right. anyway. Okay, on to some general tips.
Tips. It's all in the mix. Is that Twix? Or Trix? No.
What?
Tips. They're only for kids.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I don't know. Let's get to some tips.
I guess so. First one is kind of a tip from Mirage Colloid, who sends in, first of all, that his friend Sanathus created the Harassers variant. He had just sent it in, and they play it a lot on Xbox Kinect, not live. And because of that, he said they have an excellent strategy for that particular variant. Is double needlers. He says, once the target is marked, turn it into a pin cushion.
Turn it into a pin cushion. Aww.
Sounds painful.
This one comes from Only Smoke Zero. He says, I have a tip for anyone playing Team Snappers. Don't worry about wasting ammo. This is probably the best tip for anyone since the only weapon on the map is a sniper, and there's plenty of ammo around. And this is probably one of the best sniper games we've ever played. And I'm like, yeah, that I've actually gotten better at sniping because of playing that a lot.
Yeah, me too, actually.
The fact that it's unranked, you know, like, so you're going to be playing with everybody. You're going to get the good and the bad, so you're going to be, like, in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sweet.
Yeah, I have kind of warmed up to that game type a little more, even though I hate sniping. But that's helped me kind of, almost an average sniper now.
Almost average?
Almost average. Someday I aspire to be an average sniper.
I mean almost below average. Oh!
Oh, your mom goes to college.
Burn! Like, you all got right. Stuck.
Oh, man, you got served. So, let's see. I put together some Team Slayer tactics that I want to mention a couple of these. I just from reading around, listening to people, and, you know, I thought these might be helpful to someone. In fact, I used this in a party the other day, and we did really good with them. The first thing I put down here is directions and locations. It would be nice if there was kind of a standard of saying, like, if it's on the left, or if it's on the right, or if it's straight ahead, you know, well, straight ahead's pretty obvious, but if it's not, you know, in the left, like, left of what? So I figured the way people could do that is, like, if you're looking out from your base, then the left is, you know, on your left when you're looking out, and the right on, you know, same thing. So using that as a point of reference, I think, is probably a good thing. So people don't be like, you know, left, and then they're looking the opposite direction. And
well, just a lot of people use, like, landmarks, and, like, they're at the Warthog. The Warthog may be on the list on the map, but that's where the Warthog spawns. So, like, they're
right.
over at active camo, or people say that Warthog, like, they're over at camo, like, that's that top place over where the bridge is.
Right.
The little tower. Or they're over at Froman. See, like, luckily, like, three plots will give you some names to go by. They're over at Camp Froman. They're over at the Seawall. They're
right.
over at... So, if you need some ideas for names, place
yeah, but it,
some territories.
Only thing is, if it's Warlock, or if it's Midship,
base,
or one of these that's
base.
A little more... or Foundation, or one of these that's a little more symmetrical, then you have the problem of you don't quite have as many... you know, discernible waypoints to point to. So it's easier to just say they're coming from the left or they're coming from the right, and if, as long as you know that left is when you're facing out from your spawn point, then left is, you know, the direction from there, then it's easy to just point them out saying that general direction. I don't know, but definitely it's even better to say specific points, like they're, you know, they're over at the battle rifle spawn, second level, or they're over at the, you know, a carbine spawn or whatever it is.
They're over at your mama's house.
Oh, burn. So, another thing is communication. Calling out when you know where their sniper or their rockets or their sword are, where the noob combo is, where the main group is, where they're attacking from, where their vehicle's coming from, and where it's headed. You know, all kinds of things like this help your team be better informed about where the other team is and what we can do about it. Like, for instance, another thing is calling out when you or the other team drops a power weapon, and say if they picked it up, or the other way around. Calling out when you pick up a power weapon or a combo, and calling out when you need help. Another thing is telling your sniper where their sniper is, and telling the sniper when someone's coming up on them.
That's more important than your life, is to get their sniper.
Yeah, exactly, because your sniper can totally, you know, if everybody supports the sniper and considers the sniper as the power guy, and, you know, stays long range, then you can really own a pretty good-sized map.
Yeah, yeah.
And last thing is teamwork. Treat Team Slayer like double team. And this has got to be a good idea as far as, like, never go off on your own. Two is better than one, and three is better than two, etc.
And
so,
16 is better than zero. Just
that's
saying.
Right.
Just saying.
That's true, that's true. So get your weapons and find the nearest, you know, teammate. If you die, just do the same thing again. Find the nearest teammate. And if you see it like a group of two or three, and then you see a single guy, join the together with a single guy, because, you know, if you have a choice to give him cover and prevent him being killed and being alone, then it's better to do that, you know? So stick together, you know, at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Also, stand in front of someone if their shields are down, you know, to try to let them recharge. And then,
meat shield.
You know, meat shield? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, let them recharge, and then just, like, finish, you know, they've been firing a bunch of shots at the guy, so you can continue that, and then it's kind of like, you know, someone having double shields. Of course, fire at people firing at your buddy, and if you're ahead on the score table there, camp. You know, find a spot, make them come to you, and make the battle on your terms, because you're ahead, they got to come to you if they want to win. So that's... I wish I could get more people to follow that rule, because it's like, I hate when I'm ahead and people just go crazy and start running out and making stupid mistakes, and then we're behind. It's like, if you would have just camped, you know?
No.
Same thing on a CTF or objective game. Well, CTF, like a classic CTF. If you're ahead, play defense, especially if you don't have much time left, you know? Just, like, hold out until the match is over.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're ahead, don't go try to score again.
Oh, of course not, because that'd just be stupid.
Exactly. And, of course, if it's an objective game, stay with the guy who has the objective, unless you're sniping. You know, why give him a cover fire? Why give him cover fire with a BR if you have a sniper? He needs a shield, and that would be a person running behind him. So, you know, that's definitely helpful. And last thing on that is decide who's sniping from the get-go. If they're really good, let them snipe the whole game. If they drop their weapon, someone should, you know, call it out, go retrieve it, return it to the sniper. So he can get busy again. Or just find another spot and snipe until the sniper comes to relieve you. Have someone stay with the sniper too and be kind of a spotter, so that if he dies, you can pick up his rifle, but also you can handle any close combat he's faced with, and you can call out when someone's close by, and you can say, hey, there's a target over there you might not see, and they can zoom in on that person.
Yeah. Yep. Very importante. Very importante.
So that's my rant on Team Slayer. Importante, señor.
Yep. I don't know a lot of Spanish. Gunner5890 writes, when I was playing oddball at normal pace, like 2:45 out of 3 minutes, there's 30 seconds left. The person second behind me was like 5 seconds. The person third only had like a minute. Most people had quit because the three of us dominated at the beginning. I made a treaty with the person in third that I would protect him while he held the ball for the rest of the time. That worked really well because he got more time, and I still won because the timer ran out. And when everyone makes treaties with their player in the rumble pit, you can improve your game considerably. When sniping, get a person to guard your back. Make sure you can trust him or her, though. And that's a great point. If you're going to be winning, and it's like an oddball game, and you have no chance of pretty much getting the whole full time, like that, he had 15 seconds left. But the other guy was like only 5 seconds behind him. See if you can say, hey, once you have the ball, let me kill the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of interesting, making treaties within Rumble Pit there.
Yeah,
that's
because
one way to do it.
It's not like... But it could go either way. They could go with the other guy.
Yeah.
But I've never really heard that concept of making a treaty before. Like, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, it is, if you can make it work, you know.
Yeah, because most times it's like, hey, don't kill me, don't go. Oh, he died. Like, please don't kill me.
Strong Red died.
You know.
Yeah, dude. But, yeah, no, that sounds like a good idea, though, if you can just make it happen. The thing is, those things aren't exactly signed in blood, so,
no.
You know, they can just turn their back on you any second, so you got to be careful. Okay, so The Two Cheat writes in saying that after intense research on the subject of the BXB trick, he has come to the conclusion that the best time to hit X is when you hear the I hit you sound. the one that says, I hit you, ha ha.
Maybe you have a different version of Halo than me.
Yeah, dude, I have Halo 1.257. Anyway. There's a small window of time after that where you can hit X, and if you don't hit it within the small window of time, you'll be forced to complete the animation, and it will take the normal time before you can melee again.
Oh, how sucks. Sad. How depressing.
That's kind of interesting, though, because I always have trouble with that. The BXR is the only thing I can really pull off with any accuracy as far as the using the battle rifle. And meleeing, hitting X when you have a full clip, and then hitting R, that you know, cancels the rest of your melee and you know, gun pulling out animation, and then just lets you shoot right after it, which is pretty cool. But the BXB and the BYB, I always have trouble with, and the reload with the double tap Y, I have trouble with that too. But whatever, guess it takes skill.
Yep, skill. One of the things that I lack.
Yes, there you too sometimes. Okay. Well, looks like we got some VR tips coming up here.
This is episode 11, the BR episode. So
yep,
we got some BR. We got some big time BR experts to come help us out.
Battle rifles and backwash.
Yep. When your BR is aimed in the headshot zone on your opponent's body, this comes from Roman Craig, by the way. The reticle will change. A small dot will appear in the middle of it. Really? There's a dot that appears in that? I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I totally didn't know this until I read this tip, and I went on there, I was like, well, dang, I totally didn't even know that was there. It's
like,
really awesome.
Watch my brother when he's playing. He's sitting right next to me playing Halo. So I was like, what? There's a dot there.
The center dot doesn't show up unless you're at a certain range, though. So if you go too long range, it doesn't show up even if you're aimed right at their head.
Oh. Well, anyways, a small dot will appear in the middle of it. Handy for the four burst body headshot kill. So.
Right on. Way cool.
Yes.
Osiris2552 says, a great way to reload quicker with the battle rifle, also with the sniper, is when you press the X button to reload. Press Y twice really fast, and you'll be able to reload in half the time. It takes practice to find the best possible point in the reload sequence to press Y twice. but when you get the hang of it, you won't even know you're doing it because it becomes so natural in the general gameplay. So apparently I have to practice this because I suck at that trick.
I can't do it either. I've tried. I ended up adding like 3 seconds to my reload time.
Yeah, it adds time to mine too, and I ended up with the wrong gun in hand. And I'm like, dang it.
Why do I have a plasma pistol out?
I know I hit it twice, yeah, so it takes practice, I guess.
Anyways, threesomes. Three Thumbs says, just so you gutties know, because he can't spell, I think he means guys. Just so you guys know, in Slater games, might help, when you have the BR, you can shoot incoming frag grenades and blow them up. I do this often, take some practice, but when you can get it, it's all good. I've actually heard people who snipe grenades, and I know that once one, like, I know the grenades are really sensitive, because you can throw two grenades and one will blow them both up. Or, like, if you throw a grenade, it lands a rocket, it'll blow it up. They're very sensitive to fire. Like you said, like I bet you could probably get with an SMG if you're good enough. But,
So. Yeah, well, that's cool. That's pretty sweet. You can do that. I didn't think about that at like mid range that you can just blow them right out of the sky. So,
well, I think just about everyone has seen the videos of the Master Chief Warthog launch on Halo 1.
Oh yeah, exactly.
The grenades are very sensitive to explosions and or fire.
Yes, they are. So. Well, Taekwon Ken says, if you're in a BR firefight with someone, both of you frantically pumping headshots at each other, just keep on shooting at him, except crouch. He'll keep shooting because his finger's going so fast, and he'll likely miss you at least twice before he realizes and points his BR back down. By that time, he'll be as good as dead because he got a few headshots in.
Oh.
Way cool idea. He also mentions a sweet way to turn the noob combo into a devastating teamwork force in a Team Slayer game. Have one guy dual-wield plasma pistols, and another guy run around next to him with a BR. This way, the two of them can easily take out three or maybe four dual-wielders, if they're careful. And also, the two plasma bolts prevent someone from just blocking them. You can only use the melee trick to block one, of course. Then the second one hits you. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
Two-person noob combo.
Hooray. Shodan 1028 says, of course you all know the noob combo, but that can be much deadlier if you have two people, as what you just said. So if you can line up the kill shot.
Yeah, actually he mentions the same thing.
If you can line up the kill shot, then go for it, you know? But
sweet.
It might even be even better if like you have one guy, like sometimes I can never get the noob shot the second. I can never get that. Like I fire it and it goes like hits a wall. So, I just have to fire up both at the same time. That was me. Maybe one will hit. I don't know. Increase my chances.
Dude, you know what a great way to practice the noob combo is to play that Newbie Booby custom game. The game's got like a totally stupid name, but it's just you put overshields on everybody and give everybody noob combo to start with and just play on lockout or something. It's so awesome because it really lets you know how good you are at the noob combo. I realize I suck. I'm pretty much like in the lower third of people in the noob combo, but it gives you really good practice though. Helps you on quick headshots on BRs too.
Yep.
Yes.
So anyway, I guess on to the next one here. Lam Suvlaki says getting good with frag grenades is almost direct. Oh my gosh. Getting good with frag grenades is almost directly linked with being able to kill people more quickly with a battle rifle, sometimes even more efficiently than with a PP-BR combo. Allow me to explain, he says. Frag grenades have many unique properties. They blow up quicker and are harder to see than plasma grenades, making them easier to deal damage with. They can bounce off things, therefore almost guaranteeing the death of anyone who's trying to reload or recharge their shields. And they can hit lots of people at once, and they do enough damage to take out anyone hit with a follow-up of 1 to 2 shots maximum with a battle rifle.
Yeah.
So using these two weapons in conjunction, it is exceptionally easy for players to stand their ground against numerous foes, as well as in a variety of other situations. It's also an extremely useful tactic on the darker maps, because the grenades will light up the opponent's shields, allowing you to quickly kill them, and he says, go pod 3.
Aw, boo!
Yeah, exactly. Pod 3, I think, got whooped by Pod 1, if I remember properly, in the last tournament.
Everybody, but that's going to change with the next tournament. Anyways, Lam Slavlaki had some good points, but Pod 3, I got to disagree. Don't go.
We'll see. We'll see what happens in the next tournament.
Dane Luke says, a friend and I went to Quag to test the distance of the BR. He stood on the ridge in the middle of the map, and I backed up against the rockets to get my target on him. Even though his target wasn't red, he was still hitting me, so I kept backing up until my shields didn't react anymore. And I guess that's a good way to test your BR, about how good you are as when you go back as far as you do. So I might get that a try by going up to the, exactly. the rocks, see if you can't get some good stuff.
Yeah, I figured it'd be a good way to... I figured I'd put that in there because to tell people would be a good way to test the range on a BR and let you know where the accuracy starts to trail off. So, yeah, why don't you do the next one, too?
Okay. Anonymous says, ooh, Anonymous. The BR, doing good with the BR is pretty much just a result of being able to throw a grenades good. And that's pretty much it. You're going to walk into a grenade room and then get BR'd to death. That's pretty much how it goes. but when you're dealing with teams, rotate your offense. Rotating offense is the key to winning. That should become standard modes operandi for any team who wants to work well together, especially in the BR type games. And like, but a rotating offense is where you focus on setting up your teammates to finish off kills with grenades, plasma pistol, plasma rifle, brute shots, and then rather than trying to swap out weapons to finish the kill, let your teammate finish it off. Let him steal it from you. Because like I don't call it assist. I call it kills stolen from me. Anyways, just that one or two people that need to think assist first, kill second. You know, this saves time, saves switching weapons hassles, saves deaths, and ultimately lets you kill way more. It's also helpful like that it's good defense too. As people move in and out of the hotbox or the line of fire, it means they're out of the line of fire for brief moments, they won't get hit constantly, their shield will maintain their integrity for longer. And as one person moves into the hotbox and one moves out, you cycle through pairs of whatever for the duration of the firefight. The people not in the firing line can watch the backside or the other angles. Works well when operating effectively, and it should be a great way to just totally own in Team Slayer, I think.
Yeah, that sounds very cool to be able to rotate people in and out of the line of fire and to be able to conserve people's shields, let them recharge in the back, and you know, get people in, never have to worry about reloads and stuff. So, sounds pretty good from like mid-range especially. Mid to close range.
Oh yeah, probably wouldn't be great for like for Quag or anything, but it'd probably be good for like a lockout or warlock or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so especially with all lockout small little rooms it has.
You can keep everybody together and get them doing that. So now it is time for the map of the week.
Map of the week. This time is Backwash.
Backwash.
Yay!
Now, a lot of people hate this map, and I don't blame you. I like it, actually.
It's kind of cool, but it's just that one step down from being too dark. Because if you play Gemini, it's like, I can't see!
I know, but I think that's what makes it cool, because it's very different from pretty much all the other maps. And that not only is it dark, but it's also, you know, it's so foggy that you can't see people at mid-range.
But you can see the sword guy. You can always see the sword guy.
And
that's what Panzer Guy says. Panzer Guy says, in standard Slayer games, any sort of backwatch is the main priority because there's no other power weapons on the map. There really isn't. This is really the only map I've really seen to even have what are those things called? The little... You know, that's what I'm talking about? Sentinel Beam! Thank you, brother.
Oh.
It's the only map that even has the Sentinel Beam on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So, the person with the sword is most likely going to score a lot of points. It's really easy to see him. It's like it glows. Any plasma stuff really glows on that map. And
yeah.
So just sword hide. You know, when someone's unlucky enough to walk near you, take it out, put it back in. Just don't stay in the same spot. People are going to catch on to your little guerrilla tactics and come at you with some full force grenades and BRs and brute shots because there's a brute shot in the elevator room. So, yep.
Yeah. Cool. Three Thumbs writes in saying to get the shoddy or the noob combo to take out the sword and everyone else. Of course, the thing with the noob combo is, of course, you're glowing like a Christmas tree. And it's obvious to everyone right where you are, so you got to be careful with that. Don't let it glow for too long, I would think.
See.
Okay.
Werchess1 says, and that's a really weird spelling of how you'd say that. He wants to say that this level is just a ginormous swamp with a boring building in it, and he's sorry if he offends anyone. This level is not like Frosted Flakes. It suck. Not it sucks. It suck. Congratulations.
I thought that was
on,
so
your, on your grammar skills. Word chess one. Thanks.
Word chess one says this level suck.
This level suck. Not sucks. It suck.
Go ahead with the next one, dude.
So, you know, you can totally agree with them and say it suck.
Yeah. Cool, you want to cover the next one?
Oh, okay. Evil March Hare says, play on your own or with a few friends and not matchmaking games to learn where the grenades are, because you'll be walking for the longest time, and you might not see anything. So, you know, just keep an eye out for those. And also, especially in multi-team Rumble, those can be your best friend. When tossing them into a huge firefight to get some multi-kills. He's right. I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes when there's a lot of people in a game, especially in something like multi-team, it makes a lot of sense to try to get leftovers. You know, when someone's gotten in a fight, just take over everybody that's left with low shields, and get some pretty good kills that way.
So
Gemini Ace writes in saying he hates this map because he can't see anything, but of course that's the idea, guys. That's what makes it different. It gives you a little variation at least. You know, if there was like, you know, another Zanzibar that they made that was like exactly the same, then what's the point? But he mentions just get the shotgun or the brute shot and get into the upper part of the building. And when this map comes up in matchmaking, he just grabs the sentinel beam and he says he just grabs the sentinel beam and advertises his location because it sucks so bad. I guess to bring people in there and shotgun them. That makes sense, actually. By the way, he says he does know how to use grammar and spelling. He just messed up on his last post, I guess on the last episode, by leaving out an I. Okay. Great show. Keep it up. Right. Thanks for letting us know that. And aren't you glad I read that whole sentence out loud?
Yeah. Colin says, usually people go for the inner sword. Well, don't just do that yet. Don't go for the sword yet. Wait under the log or near the inner sword because you can guarantee someone's going to come for it. When someone least expects to knock them out before they grab it, just go, you know? Or when someone starts fighting over it, take out the weaker guy, grab the sword, run for the camo, just take out like no one else can. Jump down to the lower level and hide on the side of the thing at the base, you know, so I don't know what's called, the little, you know, wall, kind of jam. When someone comes, jump over it to get on the other side and go in the bottom of the tower, attack them. It's also worked for him. If you might get the inner sword, go down on the ground and drop it with the shotgun, or where someone else might see it, and when you drop it, go hide. When you see someone come near it, just shotgun them.
That's a really good idea.
I never thought about that. That's great. Perfect. That's funny, too.
Yeah, because it glows. It's like, take me. Just make sure you grab it after a little bit so it doesn't respawn.
Yeah, so it doesn't respawn. Or you might go pick it up and drop it again. And yeah. It says, this only works a couple times. And last but not least, if you need initial power, grab the Sentinel Beam and melee people. It hurts. Really?
Yeah.
Actually, that's like, the Sentinel Beam actually can make up a decent noob combo. Just grab the Sentinel Beam and a BR. It kind of, it does advertise your location because it kind of sucks like that, but it's really good if you cannot get off that one shot usually. But it's only not that map. It hurts. Just don't shoot it unless you want to tell people where you're at. So
yeah, I understand it's the melee power is about as good as the rockets are too.
Yeah,
so that's good to know.
But it's not one of those faster ones. It's like boom, boom.
So that's where the BXB trip comes in.
Yeah, that's where it goes.
Comes in handy. Let's see here. So, RizKid543 sends in a lengthy spawn timer on the active camo should immediately show you one thing about Backwash. If it spawned faster, it would be overpowered. The active camo works so well on Backwash that your team should be fully aware of the 3-minute timer in the active camo.
Ouch.
In the dark swamps of Backwash, being invisible should give your team a couple of easy kills in either objective-based game types or Team Slayer. He writes in a lot of stuff, so I'm going to kind of shorten it a little bit here. Because at least he's good on organizing his information here. The most important weapons on Backwash funnel to the outside of the map. So when the map launches, head to the outskirts and start grabbing the weapons. The important ones here are going to be scoped weapons first, battle rifles and carbines. And secondly, plasma pistols and shotguns. Of course, you know, the sword is pretty important as well, which we talked about. As much of the map is covered in darkness, using the light, or lack thereof, is good to use for your benefit.
Yeah, you can sneak along, especially for Rumble games. because then there's no, you have no one you can even really see.
Yeah.
So you just,
yeah.
Bungie's way of having people give out their exact locations is, hey, you're just sentinel beam. It's like a stupid flashlight almost.
Pretty much, man. It's like a long range flashlight too, because it, you know, because the long beam and everything. He's talking about those sentinel beams, saying that they pierce through the swamp and are backwash's equivalent of a kick me sign. Another thing players should be doing is hiding the sword, which we mentioned. The sword is another beacon of light in the swamps.
It's a good map for CPF, though. It really is.
The
opposite placement of the sword by the tree. So one team's going to get sword, carbine, shotgun. The other team will have shotgun and BR, so depending on your base color, it could be a bit of an uphill climb. But just don't forget you can jump from the tree into the base to grab active camo, so it's really, really nice.
Yeah, no kidding. The grab lift on the bottom of the base will boost you up to the top floor, of course, but this oftentimes isn't necessarily a good thing, as the traffic in the middle of the map gets a bit hectic, especially if it's some kind of King of the Hill game, because then you're... then it's just madness if it's no moving hill,
mm-hmm.
and you just got that central hill right there. People are just running around with a shotgun and going crazy.
Most of the ones will take you to that top room up there in the elevator, and then there's not even enough room for eight guys in a Rumble King.
I know, huh? Yeah, that gets really crazy in Rumble King on that. Even in, you know, Team King, for that matter. He also mentions that players do not start with... Yeah. He also mentions players don't start with grenades on Backwash in matchmaking games, so it's important to grab those from where the map is lit around the base.
Yeah.
So those came from
Rizkid 543. So thank you, Rizkid. He gave us a lot.
Much obliged.
But Nick of Time says, camp in the middle of Insulator games. I played a Rumble Pit match up there the other night, and I just got the brute shot. Shut out the windows. No one came up there and bothered me. I got a kill-tacular once. No one bothered me. No one even looked up there. I didn't even get shot until I ran out of ammo.
Nice.
So, just camp in the middle. No one's going to see you there, hardly, if they're stupid enough. I mean, you can't stress this enough. Like, if you have any close range weapon or the brute shot, since no one starts with nades, it's easy to camp there without getting naded, since you don't have them.
And plus, you're on the second level, so it's hard for people to drop a grenade on the ground onto the second level. You know, because they have to throw them up.
And if you're playing a nice Slayer match and you go in there into battle with a guy, he sees you first. He's got a lead on your shields. Just point your reticle up and press the left trigger to see if you can clip him with a grenade. But you don't got any. So you're going to die a miserable death. But just know where the grenades are, so you can do that. You can really trust that. Just grab some plasmas. And one's going to light up the area, so you're going to see him a little bit better if you don't hit him. And two, probably going to hurt him a little bit. Plus, I hate that. When you push left, and the little thing pops you in the middle of your screen and says, oh, you have no grenades. Haha, you're stupid. I
hate when that happens. You die, like, next second. He mentions, again, about the Sentinel Beam, that it can be useful here at close range since it has the melee power of a rocket launcher. And a few seconds of the beam on the enemy's shields and a quick melee can really help. So that's like the, kind of like the plasma pistol burst to the melee. You can do the similar thing with the Sentinel Beam. And, of course, you can turn that right into a noob combo as well.
Yeah.
So he mentions also try to put light vehicles and turrets on this map, because it can be a pretty fun custom game.
Yes,
I never tried that. That sounds
pretty
cool.
It was amazing.
Huh. I bet that'd be a pretty crazy, like, Tower of Power going on there.
I don't know about a tower game. That'd be kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways.
Okay, scratch that idea.
Anyways, Gunner 5890 says, on an objective game like CTF or Assault, you just go straight through the middle. It has the most dangerous but easiest to get to if you drop the flag or the bomb, because it has so many ways to get in and out of it on an objective game like Oddball. Stay on the outskirts and go all the way around, because you have the ball, and you know no one's going to see you out there hardly anyways.
Exactly. I've seen people do pretty well with Oddball games if they just back into one of the rooms, on there are four rooms on the side of the map, and just have everybody else on the team defend that room.
Yeah.
And if they throw a grenade, usually you have time to back far enough away from it to prevent it from killing you in one shot. And everybody else is able to prevent you from being shot through there. So it's not that big of a deal, especially if you have the sword, of course.
Oh, well, this is definitely.
Good thing.
Let's see.
Go ahead.
This one comes from our good old pal, Unready Fool. He says, if in Solaire, you should try to get the sword in BR, and you should be gravy. Swim around the map in circles, more towards the map with the sword hidden, unless you're cocky and dumb, which most people I play are. you know, it's even better if you get sort of the Wolfpack thing, go on and continue to sweep the level. You meet up with like one or two guys for the opposing team, you're going to be killing them, like, properly. You know, sometimes it's better to stay still for a second or two in the shadows before a kill to come by you. Just run and get the camo, or some bad juju will come upon your face.
Some bad juju.
Bad juju.
I don't want to know what that is. Fear This 85 says, usually I like to get the BR and the sword for this level. Sounds familiar. It helps out a great deal if an enemy comes up from behind you in the mist and you can't kill them with the BR. I mostly stay with my team because, like every other level, your team can own if you stick together. There's a tip right there. Having BR is also a great help because it's kind of hard to find if you don't know where to look. When you have it, you can take out the enemies quickly and efficiently, since it's harder to find the enemy with all the mist in the way.
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely. Here's a good SWAT strat. The reason why he has the edge over his opponents is when he's playing SWAT in this map, it's because he'll put the BR crosshair on the horizon and move it left and right slowly, see if he can pick up the enemy's names that come over their heads where he can see him. So you can fire below the name with no challenge. It's even harder to pick them up when you're looking across the horizon trying to pick up the auto-aim focus on the enemy. It's hard, but more effective because it finds more people that move further away in the mist. So gives you the edge. You can try and find the name to try and kill. So
yeah. Be able to hit people long range without, you know, having to worry about your, you know, whether your reticle's turning red. You have other signals telling you that there's someone in the field of view.
Yeah.
So Legal Paper writes in. He also has a very long one here, but we appreciate it because he organized it in two paragraphs this time. Thank you. Backwash is the most unique small map for you to be placed on for small game types like Team Slayer, Team Skirmish, Rumble Pit, etc. What most people don't do in any of these game types is blend in with their surroundings. One fact about a highly defined environment, make friends with it. You're my friend, Backwash. Because of Backwash's fog, it's harder to decipher what is an enemy and what's a figment of your imagination. So start practicing with custom games made with your friends.
They will think it's a figmentation of their imagination.
A figment of my imagination.
Am I hearing things? Yes, you're hearing things. Oh, good. I thought I heard someone talking a minute ago.
What?
I've done
what?
That before. Oh, and they're like, I think mind. I hear someone. No, you don't. Oh, okay.
So you want to start off with the Team Slayer there? His Team Slayer tips?
Well, no, it's funny you said, like, oh, I gotta mention this. This is so funny. I was playing a skirmish game by myself the other night, and I had the bomb, and they were in my base. They were in their base. Like, I think he's coming in the front. I'm like, no, he's not coming in the front, he's coming in the back. So I rushed to the back and went in the front. Oh, boy. I thought it was funny.
Dude, that reminds me. The other day we were playing this team training game. I think Sam and Air was in the party for other people, and we're just out there. We just wanted to win a game so we can go to sleep and like say we won. So we did pretty good in some game tests before that. But anyway, so we're going to the game and realize that this is one of those parties we're going up against that like every time you die they just like curse over your body for like. The whole time,
oh, no,
while you're sitting there waiting to respond, they're just like, you know, effing bunk and all this stuff, and they're just like cussing the whole time. You're like, man, these guys need therapy, man. They're like, really talking a lot of smack. So it was like pissing us off, and eventually that we probably lost because of that because we got too mad and made stupid decisions. But we ended up losing, and at the end of the game, the guy was like talking so much smack. That it was just like, we stayed there for like 10 minutes, just listening to him go on and on and on. And it was just hilarious.
Did you guys lose the game, though?
Yeah, we ended up losing the game, unfortunately.
You won the game, he talked smack.
He won the game, and he talked smack for like 10 minutes straight, dude. The guy had just had an endless stream coming out. And it was like, you know, it was totally insulting, but it was just so funny, because the guy just would not stop. He just had an unlimited supply.
We were playing with him the other night, and he's like, Hey guys, I have a suggestion for how you guys play Halo. Open your disk drive, break your disk in half, and slit your wrists with it.
Gosh. I don't think I'll follow that tip, but... That's pretty crazy, man. Yeah, so back to some tips here.
And back to reality here, where we do a show.
Back to our show, already in progress. We have some Team Slayer stuff from Legal Paper. He starts off saying you end up in either the red base or the blue base, but both have a sentinel beam and a plasma pistol already there when you spawn. Be sure to pick up the plasma pistol before you go out. It'll come in handy at times. By now, either your team or the opposing team has a sword, and if you do, you have the upper hand. If you don't, take the time to grab the brute shot and or the shotgun along the way with some of these scattered grenades on the map. And the sword is a dead giveaway
sword
in the
is
mist.
Good, as we've so found out
here
today.
Here we go again. Yeah, so, don't leave it out. If an enemy has it, hope that they have it out for you to shoot them with a plasma pistol and throw a grenade. When one person starts shooting, everyone starts shooting in this map, of course, because you finally see something. Within 1 second, you've engaged the enemy, and if they come in groups, and they do, throw a welcome party grenades to greet their arrival. And... okay, so we have some team skirmish tips here.
Yeah, Backwatch is an assault and capture the flag capable map. So on assault, if your team has the bomb, try and go ahead of him with everyone else on your team and take the tower in the middle. Stay duck camo for your bomber. Then secure the sword with, like, so the bomber can take that too, so you're not gonna get sworded and no one's gonna see the sword. You know, give the bomber the best weapons, make him a one man army in his own. If he has to drop it, and try and take him out. Which really happens quite a bit. So infiltrate the enemy's compound after you've given the bomber a good self-defense. The enemy is most likely going to be waiting for your shotgun, plasma pistols, and beams, whatever they find close to their base. If they have grenades and you have grenades, sucks for them. You can easily throw three grenades and take them out because they're all going to be inside the base waiting for your bomber, man. Being in an enclosed area with the grenades is a bad combination. They will certainly be dead within their base by your grenades. So go on in. You know, have a good time. Throw some grenades. Have a good old party. Once inside, it's a straight shot to plant the bomb. Be sure he's crouched and looking down directly over the spot. If he gets killed, the bomb will not bounce a lot off his mark. On CTF, find the flag. Find the same good weapons for yourself and take out anyone in the way that is an enemy. Grab the flag and have your team create a human chain for you to jump to, which actually I've seen that work and it is amazing. I gotta start organizing a way to do that.
It's way awesome. It's like, it's kind of like an assembly line, just passing the flag over to the next person, and yeah, it's way cool.
Yeah, and so on until you're on your way back home to score points. So weird game type to play on Backwash. I don't have enough experience to give more CTF tips in this map, so.
Well, Rumble Pit, he mentions that what he thinks is the most intense game type on Backwash is Rumble Pit. There's really an easy way to win over your enemies, actually. Grab the sword and a battle rifle, or a carbine, with a full stock of grenades, and watch for any commotion of a large firefight within the middle of the map. Here we go again, getting some collateral damage. Be sure to have your battle rifle out rather than sword, not to give away your position. Your position should always be on the very sides of the map, away from the middle, midway to either base. And when a fight breaks out, just start shooting from the distance and throw grenades. If a person starts shooting you from long range, use your battle rifle also.
Yeah.
But when they're close range, just pull out the sword, of course. And if everyone sees you with the sword, throw a few grenades and use the sword through close combat. If you die, your score should be the highest.
Yeah.
If you don't have the sword, get a shotgun. And if that's taken too, get a brute shot. People are suckers for grenades on this map for any game type. So if you can't beat them, join them.
Yes, sir. To get on top of Backwash, this comes from Yosh. When you get on top of Backwash, go to the hill at the entrance of any base, crouch, jump onto the bench over a tree, turn around and jump onto support for the structure in the middle spot. This is perfect for battle rifles. Perfect.
Right.
And he says, thanks to Ephraim117. And also he says, remember, you guys won me $20.
And you still owe me $10, by the way, Yosh. So hook me up, dude. I'm number Q writes in saying the best combo on the map. Yeah.
That ranks up there with Choctaw Monkey Paw.
Yeah, I like Wojo Mahoitz, dude. That's like my second favorite after Choctaw Monkey Paw.
Number Q. good name, too.
Yeah, that's definitely up there in the list. The best combo on this map is the shotgun and BR combo, since the shotgun doesn't have a glowing problem like the energy sword does. It's best for close range attacks, and since the BR can kill you in 4 to 5 headshots, it's the best for racking up fast kills from afar. One combo he found works quite well is to take the shotgun out, fire once, it doesn't matter how far away, as long as you can see their shields flare up, and then whip out the BR, and it'll take them down 2 to 3 headshots before they have the chance to even fire 2 BR shots back at you. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Light up their shields with one weapon and then turn around and fire at them.
Feel the rape from my BR. Feel it.
Sounds dangerous. Anyway. So.
Thane Luke says, I've only come across this map in Rumble Slayer games. He says, usually I go hunting on this map. There's a lot of killing going on in the middle. If you can circle the outside, you'll be surprised how many kills you can pull off. The trick is to keep moving. Once you've shot, you've announced to everyone where you generally are. I've also noticed a couple of the typical spots people pick to hide are in the outside base door edge. People love climbing it and camping it. The other is right under the roots of the tree near the sword spawn. As far as the sword, keep your distance and be armed to death. There's a couple grenades, wouldn't hurt either. So, thanks, Thanye.
Sounds good. Couple more, and we'll move right on here.
He's staying Luke. Anyways.
Kanye. Nice. Where'd that come from, dude?
I don't know.
Joey says, an easy tip is that not enough teams use is to not be afraid of assists. The PPBR combo dominates in Backwash, but the initial rush is so important, it can be a tough combo to put together. Instead, at the start of the match, have one player fall back into the base and grab the PP, plasma pistol, on his way out, pick up the frag grenades on the left side, left or right side of the base. And this allows the rest of the team to rush for the BR, the shotgun, the sword, the brute shot, or whatever else they want. Working in tandem, the plasma pistol guy can drop shields rather quickly and leave another player with a battle rifle or SMG/Magnum combo to finish things off. If you maintain a rotating offense, you can circle the map with just 3 guys and constantly refill ammo. Just make sure to use the 4th guy for recon to keep an eye out for the camo and the sword.
Keep an eye out. Stepan writes in to our show and he says, I found the most important skills in this map for the 4-shot kill at the BR. Fight the BR.
BR.
Since that lets you take down people in an instant before they know where you are, and knowing how to spot the difference between an innocent shadow and a sniper's silhouette. He says, don't use covey weapons! They glow. Yeah. They glow. If you haven't heard this a million times, remember it this time. And don't use plasma unless you can stick it, because it's like, hey, look at me, this is where I am!
Exactly.
So... he doesn't have live, though.
Which is bad.
That's his real name.
Yeah.
Stefan. I don't know.
Yep.
The new cool game.
Yeah, it says pronounce it Stefan.
Stefan. Stefan. That'd be cool. Stefan.
Stefan. So, last one we got is from Test Drug here. He writes in saying that we all know Backwash is pretty much a circle people run around. So, deviate. Don't run on the outer rims of it, but rather inward and, through the brush if you can. There's been so many times that he's gotten someone just because they're running on the usual path towards him, but he was off to the side. The camouflage is in the upper part of the center tower, and it's very important to get this because of the foggy atmosphere to begin with. Battle rifles are great for this map as well, of course. There are openings in the lower tower and elevators that will push you to the second tower quickly, and make use of this if you're caught between a grenade and a wall. That's a good point. Oddball's played a lot on this level for some reason, and there's plenty of places to hide. For instance, there's a series of tree roots off to the side of the circular path that may make it easy to hide in. There's also 2 bases across from each other, and ducking in these once in a while proves useful, but don't stay in them as long as people often check them. It's usually best to keep the ball moving. He personally doesn't clam over the sword, but shotgun is fairly useful on this level, as the advantage is you can often get close to a target. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, it's worked pretty good, from what I've heard.
But so that's Map of the Week, guys. That's week. A lot of information for you.
Lots. I'm overwhelmed.
Make sure to chew your tips thoroughly.
I chew them like a cow.
You have a lot of cows out there in Oklahoma?
Not really. They're more like Kansas.
Huh.
But I'll tell you what we do have in Oklahoma. Custom what? Games! custom games! Yeah,
nice, dude. That was solid segue right there.
Like, you know how people like go like, hey, we're putting Monopoly, you can be the boot, and then you get kicked out? You know that one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, the other night, I found this guy. And he's like, we had four guys. You want to play skirmish with me? And I'm like, eh, get out of here. He's like, no, I'll play with you. Well, hey, I live in Oklahoma, and around here, we go catfishing sometimes. And me and my brother went fishing the other night, and we caught a boot! Ho! Ho! He was mad.
Great way to get people mad.
He was really mad. I think Sam here can back me up on that. He was mad.
Wow.
Anyways,
man.
I thought it was funny, and I'm the only one who matters here. So we're going to talk about Jeep Jamboree here. It's a custom game from In a Jeep.
Okay.
It's a Crazy King variant. no goshogs, though. No goss. No heavy vehicles, no grenades, no rockets, no brute shot. Rifles and duels only, okay? Okay?
All right.
This should be played
Got it.
So that each team has two warthogs, placed on, like, the largest of maps. You know, the hill should be random. The team needs to hop into the hogs or the jeeps to quickly get to the hill. You have some awesome battles at the hill during the trip, you know, jeepjacking, you know. If you set to make sure everyone gets a minute or so, then you'll have the drivers will be picking up passengers, taking them over there. The key is to get the jeeps, utilize them as much as possible, to keep the enemy's hands, keeping them from being destroyed. Disabling the really destructive weapons make the game that better. Snapping can be added to increase the difficulty. So,
yeah,
might
that sounds really cool. That
might try that game out. Check the site for more information.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like Boss Hog, except for it doesn't have the rules that you have to be driving the whole time. I've tried Boss Hog a couple times, and the problem is you have to have four or less people to make it any fun, because there's four jeeps, and if you have more people than jeeps, it's just, you know, kind of not that fun, because those people don't get to drive. But yeah, this looks like a fun kind of variant on that. It's basically, you know, that similar kind of thing, except you don't have to be... the jeeps are there and they're useful. They're extremely useful in this game type, but it's not like you have to be driving and no shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems kind of cool. Okay, on to Mosh Pit by King Hoodlum. This is a King of the Hill game with only shotguns on the map, and you start with a shotgun and a sword. The hill is not moving, and uncontested hill is off, and score to win the round is 2 minutes. Normal shields, normal damage, and it's best played on midship, lockout, or warlock.
Ooh.
So this is kind of like 1,000 bodies with a sword in the backup.
Ooh. This one comes
from
Test
Drug. Very chaotic.
We got a lot from Test Drug, and we really appreciate it. We were kind of like, oh, we're not going to have anything to do today. But Test Drug came through. Anyways, he says,
yeah.
This one called Texas Hold'em. It's played on mm-hmm. Coagulation, Assault, 5 players. One person's the bomb carrier, the other 4 getting the warthogs. The object is for the carrier to try and get the bomb across the field and get detonated in the other base while everyone else is trying to splatter them with a vehicle. The only way to win is to be the first to detonate the bomb. If you manage to splatter the bomb carrier, you gotta change the carrier team, and now you're the new carrier once the bomb returns to the base. If the carrier manages to get into the base without being splattered, he must go untouched and then blow up the base. You can use to make it at first to 2 or 3 so everyone gets around to run with the ball. If the carrier gets blown up by accident, he's allowed free passage to at least 15 theaters within the spot he died. So, sounds pretty cool.
Sounds cool.
So it might be a little hard getting the 5 guys to obey a rule. That's really what it comes down to, is to get people to do the rules.
Exactly, and this is one of those ones with, you know, like you have to, you know, go on the obey the rules by your honor. But we actually did mention Texas Hold'em before, but it wasn't quite this... you know, it wasn't quite this complex, so this is kind of a different variation on Texas Hold'em. So, sounds cool. Also, we have Road Ball, sent in by Test Drug. This is Oddball played on Coagulation with 5 players, much like Texas Hold'em, but instead played with the Oddball, and the first to avoid getting splattered for 3 minutes while holding the ball wins the game. If the ball holder must stay in the middle of the map, and while everyone rushes him. In the case the ball holder gets eliminated by explosions, he's allowed to pick up the ball again and continue his time. So that sounds kind of cool. It's almost like Frogger, but being attacked from all directions, and you can't really move anywhere. You just try to avoid getting hit.
All right. This one's called Star Wars, and I got to play this. Everyone's always talking about it.
Now, really?
There's four teams. There's the Rebels, they're green. The Empire is red. Ewoks are brown. And the Gungans are blue. And if you know Star Wars, you probably know what all those are. I kind of know what them are a little bit. The rules are, the Rebels can only use human weapons. No sniping, if possible, no rockets. You know, it's kind of being nice. You know the Rebels, like, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know? The orange suits. Mm-hmm. You know?
Uh-huh.
The Empire can use non-ballistic Covenant weapons, you know? No brute shot. So, like, pretty much, like, okay. You know, like the white guys, you know? The Darth Vader guys, you know? Anyways, the Ewoks... The brown team can only use frag grenades and brute shots. You know the Ewoks? You know, look cuddly, but they'll kill you. Ewoks? The browns?
Yup.
And the Gungans can only use the sticky grenades. Like, if you've seen episode 1, you know, the little blue things they throw. Like stickies.
Yeah.
You know?
Gungans are like Barney, dude. Everybody hates Jar Jar.
Misa hates that movie! Time limit between 15 and 20 minutes. Kill them about 50. Works best on small levels, like backwash or elongation. People cannot use weapons like BR snipers to a huge effect against the Ewoks and Gungans. Note to host: this game has like zombies or other unofficial rule, where working on honor system, person has to use their assigned weapons. So it's best to play with people you know.
Just follow the rules, and we won't have to end the game and explain the rules again.
Yeah. Hey.
So we also have Tank Scramble, also sent in by Test Drug. He said, any number is advised, and it's best to play on coagulation. One person sets one of the tanks in the middle of the field. Everyone assembles on the opposite sides of the field, and once one person says go, everybody scrambles to try to get into the tank. Whoever gets into it first gets it and is allowed to kill everyone else. If you don't get into the tank first, you have to jump off and try to get away. You can't take over the tank. You can only take over the tank if you successfully get away and come back for it. You can either continue the game when everyone is trying to take the tank, or end the game once everyone gets killed at least once by the tank. This can also work well in unison with the following game type, which is...
Rover Dogs! One person in tank, everyone else in a Warthog with gunners, and other vehicles depending on how many people there is. The object to take out the tank, the playing field, coagulation. No grenades or rockets can be used in the tank. Only vehicles. This is also fun, being played with just one vehicle against a tank. Other people pelting with shots from their stuff. It's also fun to divide by teams of two. One team being man the tank. First team to take out the tank consecutively wins.
Cool. And we also have Grape Ball sent in by Test Drug. The
Grape Ball?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess you make wine or something. The objective is two-player oddball with two oddballs, one for each player, and a 7-minute time limit. The objective is to find the other holder and melee him to death, and to help buy time for yourself. It's best played on small maps with increased damage, and can also be played with three players with three oddballs. I think this is the max amount of oddballs you can have, though.
Yeah, I think it's up to three.
Yeah.
Maybe four, I don't know.
Sounds good to have a variation where you have the maximum players playing at one time is two. And maybe you can set up a team game where you can have two people in at a time where your teammates, like, rotate in, and when they die, the next person grabs it.
I think that's cool and all. I really like those. Uh-huh. But some people just like, oh, I'm not playing, I'm just going to quit.
Yeah, that's either the one you love it or you hate it, and you can't have too many people in that either. You can only have, like, five or six at the most, but it's fun, though.
I think it's cool, like, when you have to wait to get back in. I think that's funny.
Yeah, it's fun because everybody can comment, like, when they're out and they're waiting to get back in. They're like, who do you think's going to do it? Oh, they got him, and, you know, all this stuff. Oh, this is going to be a good match and everything.
Well, even in, like, in the live game, people quit. Like, and then they're dead. I'm like, be a good sport. Wait on. You can all talk to them. They can all hear you when you talk.
Yeah, for real.
It's funny, too, because I'm like, hey, guess what? He's just camping, man. I'm like, dang, he gave away my secret.
Yeah. I know. You're, like, talking to everyone, and they're like, man.
He's camping over by the rockets.
Yeah.
Like, dang, spell check.
Yeah.
And then, like, game over. I really like doing that.
What we're talking about, by the way, is called Mortal Kombat, and this is where, well, I call it Mortal Kombat. It's also called Street Fighter and a couple other variants, but it's played where you just set the maximum number of players to 2, and, you know, you can mess with the other rules all you want, but it's like a Rumble Pit game where you set the max to 2, and when you're out, you're waiting to come back in, and you can hit the white button to talk to everybody else that's out, and even the people in the game. So it's kind of like, it's a, you know, like a wrestling ring with 2 people in, and when you die, you tag the next person.
Huh.
And they come on in. Everybody else is in the stands watching the action. So I guess we got one more, right?
No, I don't got anything more.
Yeah, like, let me see. I got Odd Man Out here.
Odd Man Out. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's like a secondary oddball game to Great Ball, pretty much. It's with 4 people and 3 oddballs, meaning there's always going to be someone out. And so it's Odd Man Out.
Right.
Just don't be the odd man out, you know, or don't lose. 5-minute time limit. Be a pretty fun game. Just you got to find the guys that are willing to play it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, looks like that's our custom games for the week, guys. Enjoy those, and hope to play some of them with you this week.
Yeah. Yep.
Looks like we got some voicemails coming up here, eh?
Yep, got some voicemails, and I got a segment from Daniel251.
Here we go.
So, all right. If you've reached the Podtacular voicemail, please leave any or at the door.
Hey there, Podtacular. How you doing? I just got done with your last episode. Very entertaining. And some cool things happened this week to Mr. Carpacunnel. I got my Podtacular 4 clan invite, and I joined it. And things have certainly changed since I joined. I mean, it has changed my luck totally. I mean, as a matter of fact, the other day I went out and bought a lottery ticket. And, you know, like, the lottery was up millions of dollars. And the incredible thing was, I scratched off my ticket, and I won $1, man. It was amazing. I mean, just incredible, man. I mean, I've never been able to do that before. I was at a baseball game right after my Podtacular 4 acceptance invite, and I was playing, you know, watching the Braves play, and dude hit a home run, and I'm out there in the field, and it's coming, and a guy across the stadium caught the ball. I was in the stadium. It was so cool. And then the most amazing thing happened, you know, this whole hurricane thing happened. You know, I have a house on the beach, and people are, like, worried about, you know, flooding and drowning and famine and cats and dogs living with each other. And I was very stressed. I was worried that something bad was going to happen. But no. I have my Podtacular 4 invite. My luck totally changed. Came in, didn't do a thing to my house at all, you know, on the beach. Not one thing, you know. So I was just so happy and also glad that I live in New York. But anyways, you know, that's besides the point. Join Podtacular, man. It's an amazing situation. It will change your life. It'll change your luck and your destiny. Also, I want to give a shout-out. Please download my podcast, which is on xblradio.com, and I'm going to give Podtacular a shout-out, too, because we're 2 totally different entities trying to do the same thing, make the gaming world greater. You guys stick to Halo 2, I'll stick to Xbox Live. That's xblradio.com. Mr. Carpal Tunnel out. Later, Podtacular.
Hey, it's Gold the Fishman. Thanks for putting me on the show last time. But anyway, I saw the match of the week was Backwash, and I have a tip for you. I know a lot of people hate this trick, but I found out that if you actually want to get up in levels where you want to actually be good, everything you consider cheap, you need to use. An example would be the noob combo. In this map, use the noob combo. Trust me, you will get so many kills, it is ridiculous. Me and my friend, Thrice8XT, we played a double team game in Backwash, and I got a Berserker on it. The good thing about it is there's only 2 plasma pistols, 2 battle rifles, so you don't have to worry about, you know, 5 people coming at you with noobs. Plus, you know, you don't start out with battle rifles, so you're not going to get owned either. So I thought that was a nice little tip you guys might want to know. And for those of you who don't know, the battle rifle, 1 battle rifle is next to a tree, and then the 2 plasma pistols are in the face. Where the other one is, I don't know. But that's it. Hope you guys put me on the show. Thanks. See ya.
Hey guys, it's Eric and Steve calling. We're in the middle of a local tournament right now. We're poning. I just wanted to let you know that we're thinking of the show and all the hints we got us. Thanks a lot. Wish us luck. Bye.
Hey, Fumo Jive and Spellcheck. What's up? This is Danil. Danil251. What's going on? Anyway, I want to tell you about Backwash and Battle Rifles. You know, I don't like Backwash. It sucks, much like my week, which has been sucky without you guys. I hope yours was good, because mine sucked. Anyway. Yeah, I don't really like Backwash, but, you know, I do know a couple things about it. I don't know, what is there about it? Oh, yeah, okay. If you get, like, a shoddy on this level, and you get the invisibility, you know, you'll win. Because in that, like, fog, the fog doesn't really, like, create, like, form to your body. So, I mean, you know, just running through it, invisible, nobody can see you pretty much, because this map is so darn dark that you can't see anything. It's ridiculous. And that's why a sword's kind of like a huge disadvantage instead of an advantage, because you really have to, you have to hide it, basically. You can hide it, like, you know, have your SMG out, and then when someone runs at you, whip out that sword, wham! To the face! They're dead. Anyway, that's that. Oh yeah, the BR is pretty good for this level. Speaking of BRs, which rock, by the way, BRs are fun unless you're a noob. You use the noob combo. Now, I know, Fuma Jive Spellcheck, you know, you guys might use it sometimes. Hey, whatever. It's your own personal decision. I just think it's called the noob combo for a reason. It's just for noobs. I don't think you guys are noobs. You guys are way too cool to be noobs. Anyway. Yeah, alright, so the battle rifle's cool. I discovered that shooting to the head doesn't really do much more than shooting to the body if they have shield on. So if you just shoot at the body most of the time and then shoot at the head once you see sparks coming off their body, when you see sparks coming off their body, that generally means their shield's all the way down. So when you see sparks coming off their body, shoot their head, bam, done. Also, like, the battle rifle may seem like a mid-range weapon, but actually it works like sniper rifle range if you can, you know, aim it. But yeah, like, if someone's running across, like, a plane, or if they're running across Zanzibar and you can see them, then just stand there and shoot them. It does the same amount of damage from a long distance, and it's really, you know, it's just a good thing to use. That's why the BR rocks, and plus, it zooms in, which the assault rifle didn't. What I do dislike about the battle rifle, though, that I liked about Halo 1 that I do not like about the battle rifle is that it's a 3-shot burst and it can't be automatic. Unless, of course, you know, you're a modder who sucks. Goddamn modders. Anyway, I think the BR, maybe like for Halo 3 or something, should probably be, you know, fully automatic or something. I don't know, maybe make it so that, like, you can switch, rate of fire. That would be so cool. Think about that. You could switch rate of fire. It could be 3-shot burst. It could be 1-shot. It could be fully auto. You guys know that would be cool. I know you want it to be like that. Yeah, I know. Fumo Jab, I can read your mind. Spellcheck, I don't know about you, but I know. You know I want it like that. Not that way, but like the BRs. You know you want them like that. Okay. So yeah, that's all I gotta say. Love the show. It's great. Mac uses Drew Roll. Okay, peace out.
Bye.
Hey, it's Spartan calling. I got a joke for you guys. Why did Master Chief cross the road? To give the Covenant facts their bomb. Oh, hi-yo.
Hey guys, it's Field of Thunder. Alright, from what I've seen on the Map of the Week section on Podtacular.com, is people saying sword, sword, sword. Well, I say no. Try the shotgun, guys. First advantage of the shotgun over the sword on this map is when you take the sword out, it brights up your surrounding area a lot. And this can be seen from, like, all the way across the map. Yeah, I know you could do weapon hiding, but if you take out that sword to hit someone, your position is shown, and it defeats the purpose of that. And if your opponent has a shotgun, and possibly his teammate has the other shotgun, you're kind of dead. Alright, while we're on the topic of the shotgun with the invisibility is better here over the sword, because once you swing that sword, you're shown. Once you take out the sword, you're shown. By the way, invisibility on this map is an advantage here no matter what weapon you have. And also, there is the boot shot, and it has a whole... hold on. Alright, it's Field of Thunder. When I first tried to leave this, I got called by my mom, so now I'm leaving it again. Alright, I got cut off in the middle also. Alright, on the Map of the Week section, I noticed people were like, get the sword. Well, I said no, try the shotgun. First advantage is with the shotgun over the sword on this map. When you take out the sword, your surrounding area brightens up and you can be seen from like across the map. And weapon hiding, which is keeping the sword as your secondary weapon and switching it out. But once you swing that and once you take that out, your position is shown. So, and if your opponent has a shotgun, and there's also two shotguns on the map, so if two opponents have the shotguns, then you're kind of dead. And invisibility with the shotgun here is better over the sword too, because once you swing it or take it out again, you're shown. By the way, invisibility on this map here is an advantage no matter what weapon you have. There's also boot shots, and they have a strong melee. And a good idea to use the shooting on the boot shot here, because the grenades, you know, there's not really grenades when you start. Alright, now on the DR topic. If it's being used against you, you're on an early show you guys mentioned counting until a weapon shots are done. And on this, since it's fired 12 times, there's 36 bullets per magazine and 3 shot per, so do the division. Alright, a good thing to prevent an enemy counting your bullets and then coming to attack you after you're done with your 12 shots is to reload before you finish the 12, making him thinking you're low, but now you're fully loaded. So when he comes out, he's blown away. Alright, sorry about that, guys, and hope it's on the show. Bye.
Oh, I just love I love getting segments and voicemails, and you can send your voicemails. You can call us. It's 206-888-HALO or 206-888-4256. Right. Same thing. It's HALO 4256.
Right. So call in those voicemails and segments, guys, and we'll put them on the air if they're decent. And
decent.
You know, so like, don't send in your life story or anything, but yeah, send in something good. You can also, of course, record an MP3, which would be even better, from your computer, and send it over to podtacular@gmail.com. And send in your, if you want to write tips, feel free to do the same thing. Write some tips out, write out some custom games, some strategies for objective games, some team slayer strategies, whatever. Some web resources, and send them over to podtacular@gmail.com, and we may put them on the show.
Yep. I got some shout-outs to give out. I got one for TKO. He's a cool guy. I was playing him last night. It's not his full name. It's all I can remember. TKO Eclipse. It's L space TKO space Eclipse space L.
Okay.
Cool guy. I was playing him last night. I played with all of SK8, Staminator. They're all my buddies.
Cool.
And one more shout-out to a really dear friend of mine, Mr. Fumo Jive.
Well, thanks. Shout out to Spellcheck too. Wherever he is.
Oh, and to Crowned Sun. Shout out to him too.
Yeah, shout out to Crowned Sun, and also thanks to Robert Adams, who paid our hosting bill for a month on our PayPal donate thing. And other guys had sent in money too, guys, we appreciate it. And if you guys want to send us some money, help us out a little bit, we all do this out of our own pocket except for these donations. So you can go to podtacular.com. There's a PayPal link on the right side.
Yep. Thanks in advance.
Yep. And what else we got?
Iron says he thinks that it's pretty stupid about the use of gay on Halo. It's time for your Podtacular rant featuring Spellcheck. This week's topic, the rationality behind gay. You know, really doesn't get me in is that what people are confusing is there's two different words. There's gay as in homosexual, G-A-Y, and gay, G-H-E-Y, as in retarded, stupid.
Give me a break,
because
dude.
You can't tell which one they're using. It's like gay, or you're saying gay, or you're saying gay.
Right.
It's just such a fast. So, you might be calling someone gay, and they think, oh, I'm not homosexual. Like, I know, you're just stupid. I'm like, oh, thank you for clearing that up.
I don't know, man. I think that sounds like a pretty lame excuse. That's like saying, you know.
I think they're saying the G-H-E-Y, which is gay.
It's like, I wasn't saying the F word. I was saying, you know, and then spelling it differently or something like that. I don't know if that really flies, but I don't know. I kind of agree with them. I think the gay thing is kind of...
It's kind of
retarded, you know. It has nothing to do with the derogatory term they're trying to make.
That was your Podtacular rant. Join us next week.
You know, and it's just rampant on Xbox Live, dude. Everybody calls everything gay.
You're gay. Your mom's gay. Your mom's dog's gay. Your mom's dog's face is dog's mom's face is dog's gay.
So I propose
you're gay
a
too.
Movement to end the whole gay trend. I'd say we just call things lame or just call something different, but, you know, it's probably just me. You guys are probably like, shut up, I'll call it whatever I want, and you're gay. So, whatever. You guys can think what you...
I don't say that.
Well,
too much. It'd be hypocritical. It'd be hard to say that I don't say it.
Nice. Yeah.
Hypocritical giggling.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Strong Brad.
What do you want?
Someone wants to know if you will do a Sarge impression.
Why do I got those friggin' Sarge impressions?
Because I don't like doing them anymore.
Fine, what's the guy want? What's the guy want to say?
What's the line? It says, last one dies at double duty.
Last one dies gets double duty.
Good enough. See you later, Strong Brad.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, Strong Man. Dude, guys. Strong Man's back again. Awesome.
Yeah, he was just hanging out in my room here.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well, I think we'll end the show and get over to playing some Halo 2 with Strong Man.
Yeah.
Right on.
Do some system link later. Hook it up.
Well, stay tuned, guys. Lots of good stuff coming up on episode 12 as well. We got Podtiker TV coming out shortly.
Podtiker TV is coming soon.
It's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. And
me too.
Of course, lots of other great tips, tricks, strategies, custom games, and stuff to help you level up and stay there. So stay tuned on Fumo Jive.
I'm Spellcheck.
See you guys later.
There's only one thing left to say.